This is Ashley Bond, Miss Illinois USA 2009 and a member of the Chicago Lovables. And you're listening to Fred and Mark on the Chicago Bullseye.
What's going on? This is Joakim Noah of the Chicago Bulls, and you're listening to Chicago
Bullseye. I'm your host Mark Moonsall. With me as always is Fred Pfeiffer. You're getting a lot of us so far this year, Fred, we should start doing these things every single day.
Well, I think we got a lot of stuff to talk about. When the Bulls are playing like this, it's easy to run to the microphone and start, you know, giving your thoughts. I don't know how you feel, but, you know, even though we don't have the best record in the NBA right now, I think as Noah put it so eloquently this week, the arrow is up for this team, and I feel like we are the best team in basketball right now. I don't think there's a team that could beat us. I'll say it right now. I think we should be the favorite to win the NBA title. I know there's a lot of good teams in the West, but I think if we stay healthy, and that's a big if, I don't see anybody out there. If we do it right and get these guys playing at an optimal level by April, that can beat this team.
Yeah, I mean, I got to say, in the 7 years we've been doing this show, I've never been more optimistic about this team. Now, we've been better. I mean, in our 7 years, we've had the best record at points. You know, we've been the best team in the East. We had the best record in the NBA at one point. You know, right now we're fourth in the East right now. And I mean, if you put our record up against the rest of the league, I mean, our record's, it's not near, you know, we have almost double the losses of a team like Golden State. I mean, you know, we have a good record, but we're 2.5 games back from Toronto right now. But yeah, I feel like this team could beat any team in the league. And I'm wondering what changed. Why? I can't put my finger on it exactly, but in the last week or so, last 2 weeks, I've really started to believe, and it seems like this team started to believe, because you look at what Joakim Noah said this week, and just the players in general are kind of all kind of, you know, saying the same sentiment that they feel like this team is a title, you know, contending type team. You know, Thibodeau sounds the same way too, but something changed, Fred, and it seems like it's becoming the consensus too. I listen to a lot of shows. A lot of people are picking us now as the best team in the NBA. Fred, what changed? Where did this come from?
Well, I think it starts with Gasol. I know a lot of people, you know, would probably say the emergence of Jimmy Butler as a superstar. I think it's one and two with those two reasons. But, you know, Mark, to put in perspective a little bit about what Gasol is doing right now, he's sixth in the league in total blocks. Last I checked, I think he had just over 50 blocks. Put that in perspective, Carlos Boozer has 4 so far in about 700 minutes for the Lakers. So, I mean, there's just no comparison for the level of rim protection. Just on the defensive end, he's exponentially better than Boozer defensively, and he's exponentially better than Boozer offensively. You know, I was watching the game the other night. 4 times they went – he didn't have a huge stat game, although he was only 1 rebound and 2 points away from another double-double. In the victory last night, he still was able to, you know, command a double-team twice in the first quarter. Every time they went down to him in the post in the first quarter, he was able to dish it out for a basket. I thought he played – you know, just remarkably well. And he is such a massive upgrade on Boozer, the way Boozer was playing, that I think that's the number one factor. And number two is obviously Jimmy Butler's emergence as a superstar. He was always, you know, this good on the defensive end. This is what we come to expect from Jimmy. But to be throwing up 30-plus every, you know, 6 times or, you know, every other day, it seems like lately, it's just incredible that he's really taken his game to that next level. And I think it a little bit, you know, people forget about last year. He didn't have a great year offensively, but he was injured quite a bit early on, and I think that affected him quite a bit. I think there were leg injuries, and I think that had an effect on him more than he let on. And obviously that guy, his emergence as a all-star and as one of the better players in the league, frankly, is just incredible. Absolutely incredible. So the Gasol addition and the Butler emergence are easily one and two, the reason why this team is, you know, taking it to the stratosphere. There's other reasons,
too. I think the number one reason is really it's – I think that you see this season – well, first, right now we're on a 1-2-3-4-5-6 game winning streak right now, but we've won like – We've only lost one game in the last, like, one, two, three, four, in the last 10 games, we've only lost one game. And I think what really it coincides with here is Derrick Rose coming back and playing extremely well. I mean, this month he's really taken his game to another level. This month he's averaging almost 20 points a game, but over the last, like, few games, he was averaging, like, 24 points a game on, like, 50% shooting. I mean, he's averaging for the month now, he's shooting 45%. He's had some really impressive games. That 29-point outing against Toronto, he shot 63%. He shot 58% with 25 points against Washington. And the next night against the Lakers, he had 20 points on a 50% shooting. He's playing really great. He's playing really aggressively. He still is taking too many threes, in my opinion. I mean, he's not shooting the three ball that well. He's averaging 26% for the month. I mean, over the season, he's still well under 30% from three. I mean, that's something that's got to improve, and his turnovers have to improve. His turnovers, he's averaging like 3.5 turnovers a game, and he's like 10th in the league in turnovers, but he's playing like of everybody that's in that's above him, everyone has more minutes. The only one close is Kevin Durant, who has about the same amount of minutes, and he's averaging about the same amount of turnovers. But everyone else who's in that stratosphere of averaging 3.5 turnovers a game is playing 38 minutes a game. So he's got to get better in some areas, but his emergence over these last few games, I feel, has been the thing that has really taken our team to that next level. And when you see people are beginning to believe in him, and the minute that people started to believe in him, I think is when people believed that the Chicago Bulls could win a title. We never knew if Derrick Rose was ever going to be back again. And as the season continued to go, you know, you saw blips on the radar. You just see little blips and little blips and little blips. But he's really starting to put the pedal to the metal and be consistently good every single game. Jimmy Butler's still our best player right now. But I think that before all is said and done, Derrick Rose will be the best player on this team.
Well, I agree. I mean, he's been great. I don't know about that, though. Let me step back. I don't know if he's been the best player in his team. I still think Butler probably has.
What I just said. I said by the end of the season, he'll be the best player on the team.
Yeah, it's a good question to ask, right? It's a good problem to have. When you go down to the end of games, who's going to get the ball, Jimmy or Derek? It's probably still Derek's team. He's still probably going to demand the ball.
But we've seen that. It's been Derek.
Yeah, but I think Butler has progressed to the point where I really wouldn't care either way. And I also believe in Gasol so much that I don't care if it's one of those three. These three are at such an all-star level, playing at such a high level right now. There's no other team in the league that can really say that. Can you think of one that can say they have three players playing at an all-star level?
Well, I mean, that's probably not. I mean, Golden State would probably be the only team that comes to mind right now. I'd have to look at the standings right now. But no, and most teams, it's really two. Oklahoma City. I mean, since Kevin Durant's come back, with Ibaka's been playing extremely well, and obviously Westbrook and Durant are all amazing. So, sure. There's teams, but they don't have the depth that we have. Oklahoma City doesn't have close to the depth we have. That's the big thing, Fred. Nobody has the depth we have. Our bench is suffocating teams, and that's why we're not. I mean, there's so many reasons why we're winning. It's not just because of the bench. It's not just because of Butler. It's all these things coming together. But so many things are working on this team right now. Our only weakness, I feel, is what we talked about in the last show, is Kirk Heinrich, and now Heinrich's up. And Moore's playing. Now, at least Moore's not shooting 30%. He's at least shooting 50%. He's barely taking any shots, but whatever. He's manning the fort, but I think that our only weakness here is really in that backcourt. But we're playing Nico a little bit more in that three spot now, and we're seeing if it works. And if we can play Nico at the three, that could change things a little bit.
I couldn't believe it. I actually saw it at the end of the first quarter yesterday. Where he had Taj, he had I think it was Gasol or Noah. I can't recall which one of the two, and he had Nico playing the three. And I have no doubts he could do it. This kid is impressed me so much. Well, you know, they had a lot of good shots. It didn't translate to the scoreboard, you know, and it wasn't a very extensive period of time. It was probably a two-minute period at the end of the first quarter yesterday. But, you know, I just loved seeing it. And just to see that and to give a different look, and I thought they did pretty well with it. I think, the thing about Mirotić, a couple things that really impressed the heck out of me. Number one, he's able to draw fouls. I mean, that's like a gift. It's an ability that doesn't come naturally to every player, and he really has that ability to draw fouls like Jimmy has and Gasol has. And I think it's going to come more and more as he starts getting respect from the officials. He's not a rookie anymore. That's something that you don't just see come naturally. He does have a way of drawing contact, getting guys up, causing them to foul. He can dribble the ball. He can shoot the three. He's quick. He's going to be too fast for fours, and he's going to be too big for threes. He just got to get that post game. If he's able to develop that yesterday in that at the end of the first quarter, Mark, I don't know if you saw the game when they did go to that big lineup. He had a guy on him. I can't recall who, but the guy was probably about 6'5", and he wasn't in the post. He was standing out at the 3-point line. If he's able to develop a post game like Dirk has, sky's the limits for this kid. We're talking about multiple All-Star games. He's got a chance to be that good. Because with his skill set right now at the young age, 23, I mean, it's just amazing. It's just amazing. I don't know how you feel about him, if you're as bullish on him as I am.
Those are big statements. I mean, I think he could be an extremely good player. We've seen flashes of it. We've seen flashes of what he can be. It's scary when you think about, first, how much better he's gotten as the season went on. We talked about this in the last show, but as the season has progressed, he's gotten tremendously better. I mean, it's leaps and bounds, and that's a sign of a guy that's going to be a really good player. I mean, I think he's going to be really good in this league. I mean, whether he's going to be, you know, all-star, perennial all-star level, who knows? I mean, he still has to show me a little bit more, but I do like that they're playing him a little bit at the three spot. I think it's important for us to establish as much depth at that position as we can, because we have so much of it everywhere else, and a player that's as talented as Nico deserves to play.
It's important to get the minutes down, too, for Gasol. Gasol was, you know, I think in the last podcast I'd mentioned he's one of the only players over 30 who's in the top 25 in minutes played. You know, that has to stop. He's got to get down to 30, and I think Tibbs yesterday had him play 30 minutes. I think it was the total amount of minutes he played, and that's exactly where I want him for the rest of the season. You got to give those 6 or 7 minutes to Mirotić, and, you know, we might lose a few games, you know, as Mirotić goes through the growing pains, but so what? The guy's shooting. Look at some of these stats. Mark, he's shooting 41% for three-point range. Incredible statistic with 85 attempts. 41.2% from three-point range from a stretch four, it doesn't get much better than that. 44% from the field. You can't say enough about the kid. He's playing freaking awesome. And I've been hearing a lot of talk, too. I don't know if you've heard
it, too. In such limited minutes. I mean, you know, these last two games, he's played well under 20 minutes, and he averaged double digits in both games. In the last five games, he's only had one game where he didn't have double digits.
And
he played in well under 20 minutes in all of these games. He's averaging 18 minutes over the last five games, and he's averaging 13 points. That's pretty good. On 52% shooting, 61% from three. 52% shooting, 61% from three. He's averaging almost 6 rebounds a game in 13 minutes.
So,
18 minutes.
You know,
that's ridiculous.
I hate to jump off the topic, but I just wanted to share with you, how many blocks do you think Boozer had last year in 70-plus games?
Oh, Jesus. How many do I think he – well, I don't think that he averaged a block a game, so I'm going to say like 25.
He had 22. How many do you think Gasol has right now in 27 games?
Is he averaging a block a game? 22 is fine?
56.
56?
He's doubled Boozer's total in basically a quarter of the season of what Boozer brought to us all last year. See, that's what I call rim protection. That's something the Cavs don't have. That's something a lot of teams don't have. When you have a guy who's going to be a threat of a shot blocker like Gasol on the defensive end, once these guys start getting that Tibbs system down and they start working together as a team, which is so important, just the reps, you know, that's all they need, they're going to be freaking great. I mean, it's all starting to come together, Mark. I really feel like, you know, we talked in the last cast, you know, over this 10-game period with the bookends of the Wizard games in Washington, you know, we'd be happy if they went 8-2. We thought, realistically, that's what I thought they'd go 8-2. I think they could go 10-0. I really do. And as soon as Atlanta starts losing, for gosh sakes, how the heck are they doing it? They did have a stinker the other night against Milwaukee, but then on the back-to-back, they go to Milwaukee and beat them. When are they going to start losing some games? You know, what is it with that team?
It's got to happen at some point. And, I mean, Toronto, too, I feel, especially with DeRozan. I mean, it's like they're going to weather this entire DeRozan storm without, like, a flinch. It'll still be at the top of the league, of the conference. I mean, it is unbelievable because everyone thinks we're such an amazing team right now, yet we still are buried at fourth in the conference. I do think Cleveland's taking a turn right now, and, I mean, we're seeing it. I think they're falling apart. And, I mean, Kyrie Irving hasn't been playing, and I know he'll be coming back, but losing Anderson Varejao, I feel, is huge. And they don't have that the down low – they don't have the bruisers down low that I think you need to win, and I think you're starting to see it. I mean, they got pummeled today by Detroit. I do think that one of the reasons that people are picking us so highly right now and why people are really becoming very bullish on us, pardon the pun, is because it's becoming apparent, I think, that Cleveland is not the best team in the East. And I got to say, this could be our easiest run. I mean, this could be – I mean, I think this is our best team that we've had in a really long time, and I also think the East is really wide open, man. Not having that – juggernaut of Miami in the East anymore, knowing that you don't have to go through Miami, knowing that the best player in the game is playing for the Cleveland Cavaliers, I'm not scared of the Cleveland Cavaliers. I don't think they're ever going to get to where they need to go, especially now that Varejao is gone. Do I think I'd be coming to this point right now, at this point of the season, at the end of December, if Varejao hadn't gotten injured? Probably not, but I think it's becoming apparent now. I mean, they're starting to slowly, they're 5-5 over the last 10. They've had some bad losses. They've gotten their butts whacked a few times. I think that team's falling apart.
Yeah, and I just looked it up while you were talking, Mark. Do you know what Kyle Korver is shooting right now from three with 167 attempts?
What?
51%. There are guys, I'd say the vast majority of players in the NBA, maybe not the vast majority, but I think there's a good percentage of players who can't shoot 51% in practice with no one on them from three. That's insane. That is one of the most incredible stats I've ever seen. That cannot continue. That is a stat that there's no way anybody can maintain that type of – that is one of the most amazing things I've ever read in my life. So that's part of the reason that when I keep on hearing all-star talk for Korver, and, you know, to shoot that type of percentage, maybe they're right, but that can't keep up. That just can't keep up.
Well, they've been beating lately – let's see. It doesn't look like they've been beating a lot of good teams, so – it looks like, I guess they beat the Clippers, but no, they beat Dallas too. They beat the Rockets. No, they just went on a West Coast trip, man. They beat the Rockets.
Beat
they beat Dallas.
Yeah.
They beat Houston. They beat us. So they beat in a row us, Cleveland, Houston, and Dallas, and then the Clippers. Those are some pretty good wins.
That is.
All back to back. And in a stretch of games, five games in a row, that's pretty good. Yeah, man, I don't know. I mean, if they keep playing, whatever.
They can't continue, though.
Like this,
they can't be ahead of us. They can't be ahead of us by any. The Bulls are the best team in the East, and I think they could be the best team in all basketball. So,
they beat us.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was in Atlanta. We had a horrible game. Let's just say in the 7-game series, I feel entirely confident we'll beat Atlanta. Unless Korver shoots 51% from three, you know, but
yeah, if we had Nico Maricich, he's going to shoot 62%. He'll up him.
Put Jimmy on him. And
God, what if you get a shootout? Dude, if we had a shootout between Nico and Korver, you'd be sitting on your couch crying. You'd record it, watch it over and over and over and over and over. And then somehow Ben Gordon gets cut and he gets picked up before the playoffs and he's on one of the two teams.
Hey, I love Nico, but if it's a shootout between Nico and Korver, we're going to lose that series. So let's try not to go to there because Korver.
Nico, Gordon, and Korver in a 3-point shootout in their primes. Nico's a rookie right now, so he's not there yet. But 3-point shootout. Prime Gordon, Korver, and Nico.
I mean, think about that. Think about how good Nico has been from three, 41%, which is an excellent percentage. Korver's 10 points higher. I can't even believe it. I can't believe this is not a misprint. I mean, that's insane.
Such a ridiculous volume, too.
Yeah.
And then look at, you know, Washington. I do think Washington's got talent. You got to give them credit that, I mean, to bring in a guy like Paul Pierce, you got to respect Paul Pierce because Paul Pierce, he comes in, he's just a savvy veteran that wants to win. And he went to Brooklyn. He didn't get that situation in Brooklyn that we thought he did. And look at how much worse they are without him. Now, you know, the team's a year older. But look at how much worse they are now without him. And look at how much better Washington is with him. And it's like you got a savvy guy this year. You lost Ariza, but in replace of him, you got a player that's maybe a notch worse, maybe even a notch better at this point. But he can get a bit hot in the fourth quarter of games. And he's a savvy veteran that brings a, you know, winning attitude to the locker room. And I think when you see Washington now, man, they play like a very confident team. And they're a good – Washington's a good team. People don't talk enough about them. I think by the end of the year, people will be talking about them. They're another team that's had some good wins. They beat the Clippers. I'm trying to see if they've beaten really anyone else, but not really. They beat New Orleans. So they've had a couple key wins. They haven't played a lot of good teams yet. But I do think they're a team that's in for the running. But, yeah, I think that we could beat – any of these teams in the East in a 7-game series, and I think that we will have a better record than anyone else in the conference, barring any crazy injuries. I think that by the end of January, we'll be the best team in the East.
I think you see Golden State without Bogut has a huge issue. I mean, the team does not have that rim protector without him. They've looked very mortal with losses to the Lakers. They've lost two in a row to the Lakers and the Clippers back-to-back. You know, so that team is a very good team. But are you afraid if you play Golden State? I mean, there's not a team in the NBA that if we play in the championship.
Exactly.
I don't think we can beat. I mean, I think the Spurs, we could even beat the Spurs. I think the Spurs are probably still the class of the West when all is said and done. But I feel very confident we could beat that team. And Gasol is just such a huge thing. I mean, he's got two titles. He's such a winner. He does so many little things that really result in people winning. And, I mean, this team's had a ton of injuries, and we're still, you know, look where we're at, you know, 21-9. And even, you know, we've managed to win four in a row, scoring 129, 99, 113, 107 points since losing Kirk's ability to set up the offense.
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of can we beat any team in the league right now? Am I afraid of any team? Yeah, if you look at the West right now, I think that the standings are pretty representative of who the best teams in the West are, I think, for the most part, except for Oklahoma City. You know, take out Phoenix and put in Oklahoma City, and I think those are the eight best teams in the West. Looking at the records, I think the way that they're ranked is pretty fair. And, you know, most of these teams have major flaws. I think that we would have a hard time against maybe a Portland. I do think that, they'd be tough, but I think that we could beat them. But, you know, besides that, I think that we'd beat a Memphis. Houston's got, you know, they have a lot of weapons. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they play with Josh Smith, because that can be a big addition. That could be, depth is what we have. So if another team has good players and some depth, you know, maybe they can compete with. I mean, the fact is that the best players, you could certainly make the argument that a team like Houston has got the two best players on the floor at any given point. So we'll see how that Smith trade works for them. But right now, I think we could beat Houston. Dallas, what do you think? Do you think Dallas is really that great now that they got Rondo?
No, Dallas is a really good team. I still think we could beat them. The West is pretty good. There's a lot of good teams. Houston's a very good team. Not to hit Josh Smith, they'll probably take a big tailspin.
I think it was a good move.
No, I'm kidding.
I think it was a good move.
He's supposedly friendly with Howard, so it's a fine move. The Clippers are very good. I mean, all those teams are very, very good. It's going to be interesting to see who comes out of that. You know, but I still think the Spurs are a class there. And, hey, we're in the East, right? We only got to beat one of them. We don't have to beat three of them or four of them. And, you know, we only have to beat one of them. So that's all that matters. I think it's pretty clear the Bulls should come out of the East. And it's pretty sick and exciting. And I was even talking about this today. You know, the Bulls are so deep. You know, God forbid we get any more major injuries. But we could even sustain an injury to the front court because we have so many options there. The only two guys are really kind of, to me, irreplaceable that would, you know, cause us to lose really a shot at the title would be either Rolls or Jimmy. Those two guys are just irreplaceable. And I've been hearing a lot of people talk about we need to make a trade for another wing. Totally disagree. Totally disagree. The only guys you can, you know, get out there, some of the names are thrown out there, Kevin Martin, you know. Kevin Martin's a loser. He's never won anything. He plays horrible defense. He can score for you.
Not
he gets
now.
To the line. No way I want that guy on your team to play, 5 minutes a game, 6 minutes a game? You know, throw him out there. He's a horrible defender. Forget that. You know,
if you could get Ray Allen, I totally would. If I could get Ray Allen as a free agent, I totally would.
I like the team as is. People are like, let's just...
I don't like that wing spot, man. I'd like one more plug in one more guy. You telling me that if Ray Allen was – because McDermott, just accept the fact that at this point in the season, he's injured.
I am.
McDermott's going to come back and be anything. This may not be his year.
What has Aaron Brooks done, Mark, to dissuade you from just saying we're fine with him as another wing guy?
He's been awesome. Well, no, but it's not really Brooks. It's more Kirk. I want to replace – Kirk's minutes, and then, you know, now you see Moore playing. I mean, Etuan Moore shouldn't be playing minutes. The reason he's playing minutes is Kirk got injured. But I don't really like Kirk Heinrich either. So those are the guys. But I don't think we ever will plug in for Kirk Heinrich. We're a better team when we have Kirk Heinrich playing. But, you know, right now we're seeing Etuan Moore play. He shouldn't be playing.
Well, Kirk Heinrich should play about 10 to 15 minutes a game to rest at the point guard position to rest Rose. That's all he should be doing. He should not close any more games. He should not be playing the two. He's a horrible shooter.
Because he should be playing the two because Brooks deserves the most minutes at the point. Brooks should be the main backup point guard. And I think that you should try to weed out Kirk by playing Derek more minutes at the two and move Derek because you can't really play Brooks at the two.
Here's what I want. Let's not muck it up anymore. Here's who the guys you divide at the three. You got Butler obviously playing a ton of minutes, and he'll continue to play a ton of minutes, and he'll play a ton of minutes in the playoffs. And you're going to put Butler at the two and the three. You give some of the remaining minutes at the three for obviously Dunleavy, and start giving Merrifield some of those minutes at the three. And at the two, you play Butler, obviously, a good percentage of that. And you can get, you know, Brooks and Rose even. You go back and forth because those guys can basically play one or the two.
Yeah.
That's all you need to do.
If it's Operation Squeeze Out Kirk. But so far, wasn't Kirk Heinrich averaging almost 30 minutes a game? Did we just talk about this on the last show? Isn't he averaging like 30 minutes a game, somewhere around there?
Right around there.
So beyond squeezing him out with those kind of minutes. It's just ridiculous. Why is he playing so goddamn much? I mean, you see our statistics. When a team is shooting as good as we're shooting now, and when we're this efficient, it's almost like fantasy sports. Like, you don't want a guy coming in there and mucking up your field goal percentage. Like, you don't want a guy coming in shooting 38%, when your team is shooting so much better, because you get in a rhythm. It takes your offense out of rhythm.
Yeah, he's horrible. He's horrible, and I think how well we've played without him. You know, the one thing about Thibodeau, I love the guy, but he's not the, he has this idea of how important some players are, and he's been proven to be wrong and wrong time and time again. You know, we had to endure all the nonsense about Keith Bogans, how important he is and his needed
toughness. We didn't have a replacement, though.
You had Ronnie Brewer. Come on, give me a break. We had
Corver
tons of there. Kyle Korver should have had every minute that freaking Keith Bogans had on that court. It's a disgrace that he played so little, averaged 20 minutes and 22 minutes in those 2 years, and
probably,
Keith Bogans
playing
18 minutes a game. And then all you ever heard for 3 years is how important Luol Deng is. Luol Deng this, Luol Deng that. Luol Deng so essential to the success of his team. And he's playing, sticking 40 minutes a game. And the minute that guy left, our team got better. You know, I'm not saying Luol Deng was a bad player, but the way Thibodeau talked about him, he thought he was like, second coming of Dr. J. The guy was a slightly above average player. So Thibodeau will talk about how great Kirk is too. In the same string, Kirk sucks. Kirk should be playing 10 to 15 minutes a game. And I almost feel like you got to protect this team from Tibbs, because that's the one thing that just drives me nuts is how much he loves that guy. Not only him, but the media in general and the fans in the 100 section. You know, he's got to play. He's so important to winning. We haven't lost since that guy went out. And I don't want him to be hurt. I think we are better when he plays 10 minutes, but not 27, you know?
Yeah, let him take Etuan Moore's minutes. Keep this rotation and plug in Kirk Heinrich to take Etuan Moore's minutes. And then you're good. Moore's playing about 18 minutes a game right now, which is probably still, for you, too much. I think that's what he played the last couple games. It's been like 18, but there's been a few where he's at like 14, I think, yeah. 20, 14, and 20 is the last three games for Etuan Moore. So, no, he really is. You know Heinrich.
He's playing pretty well,
back.
Etuan Moore.
Yeah, but he's not. It sounds like he's been playing well, but he hasn't. I mean, I guess he's been getting like 3 rebounds in 15 minutes, 20 minutes. That's not terrible. He's not shooting.
I don't think he's played that bad. You know, I think he's been pretty good. You know, but that said, I'd rather probably have Heinrich out there for 10 minutes. Who knows? I really don't care. Heinrich should be such an insignificant blip on this team. And, he definitely should be closing any more games. That's one thing I don't want to see anymore for the rest of the season. So I hope Tibbs has learned there.
Yeah, anyhow. I mean, you're right. His rotations could be a little scurry. The one thing about Tibbs, though, is that he does seem to get the most out of his talent, and he does seem to get the most out of his team. And I think we're seeing that now. I mean, these guys right now are excelling at a level where, it shouldn't surprise us as Bulls fans, because we saw what this team did these last two seasons, and what they did was so remarkable, with losing your best player and being as thin as they were. I never thought the teams the last 2 years had any chance, even if Rose was healthy, of being good. Well, we knew 2 years ago he wasn't going to play at all, but last season I didn't even think the team was going to be any good, even if Rose was good. The team we weren't good enough. We didn't have enough talent. But yet, we lose Rose, and we were all right. And
no, he's got no excuses this year. There's absolutely none.
What I'm saying, though, is that this season, though, you are getting the most out of these guys. We did not think that we had this in Jimmy Butler. We didn't think Derrick Rose was going to be back to the level that he's playing at. Now, who thought Pau Gasol was going to be playing like this? You know, everybody,
well, I did.
You know, You did, to your credit, but I don't think you thought all these things were going to happen, and all these things are happening. Everybody on this, Aaron Brooks, every single thing, Fred, all of our question marks. If you go back to the beginning of the season and listen to, I remember specifically, you thinking, you know, that we could win the division, and me saying I had these, I think we can, but here's all my questions. Every question that I had has been answered very strongly, and it's these are all because I think very strongly because of Tibbs. I mean, you're seeing now what this team would have been these last 2 years if we had these type of players on this team. You're seeing what this system, what Thibodeau's system does when you have the right pieces in it. I mean, he is an incredible coach. You got to take the good with the bad. He's not perfect, but who is? I don't know if I was a Spurs fan. I'm sure we'd have complaints about Greg Popovich if we lived in San Antonio.
Yeah, you're probably right. But no team's perfect. You know, every team has holes. I think the Bulls have fewer holes than any other team. And Tibbs has a team here that should – there's enough talent on this team. I think if you gave this team to Popovich, this team would win a title. Tibbs has to prove it this year. He's 17-23 in the playoffs. He has the team to win it all. Guard packs have done an excellent job of putting together one of the best teams in basketball. And we have, the thing that gets me, Mark, is I know you said you didn't expect a lot of these guys to play that well. No one hasn't played anywhere near his capabilities. Neither is Taj. I mean, obviously, being hurt had a lot to do with both of those two guys not playing great. Heinrich has sucked. I mean, there's still, to me, room, a lot of room, for this team to improve. I still think they haven't hit their ceiling. So think about that. We're, you know, 21-9, and this team hasn't really hit their what it can be. So I just think the sky's the limit for it, you know, especially...
Well, look at the maturation of Rose. Rose has gotten much better in the last, like, three games. Like, you're seeing consistency. You're seeing every night the same effort and the same execution from Rose, night in and night out. And he's just slowly getting better and better and better. I mean, there is no reason to think that he's hit his ceiling yet this year. The turnovers, man, when Rose won that MVP, he's statistically in most categories now where he was his MVP year. His points are down, but he's also playing 10 less minutes. I mean, his points are – everything that he is doing right now is in jive, in sync statistically with what he was. And I don't think he's the player that he was that year, but it's the turnovers. The turnovers are what's out of control, but I think they're going to get down. His timing's off, and that's where I think – when your timing is off, your turnovers are up. But I think he's going to get much better. Noah, obviously. Jimmy, come on. Like, this is, but I keep saying that. He keeps getting better. I mean, Jimmy Butler's best period of basketball has been, like, the last, like, three games. He's been amazing every single one of these games. I don't think he can get any better than this. I mean, but, yeah, there's certainly, with Nico, there's certainly room on this team to still improve, and I think they will. You're seeing them every day get more cohesive, and that's what's scary. Now, other teams are going to get more cohesive too, but it just, for whatever reason, seems like other teams are playing at a level more close to what their capabilities are than us, for whatever reason. I don't know what that reason is, but it seems like there's so much room for us to grow as a basketball team.
Well, we have the biggest winning streak in basketball. Only one close to us is the Suns, who have won 5 in a row. And I thought it was interesting that we've won 6 in a row, and the New York Knicks are 5-28 with 8 losses in a row. So our current winning streak is more than the Knicks' 5-28 record. Melo has to be, you know, pretty much killing himself for that decision. But
I don't think we'd be this team though. If we had Carmelo Anthony. And I go back now 110% at Christmas, you know, whatever, you know, we're doing this on December 28th, 2014. But at this point, you know, whatever, 5 months after Melo Mania, God, am I happy we didn't get that play. God,
I still think we would have been really good. I still think we could have won a title with Melo. I don't want to act like we wouldn't have. But it certainly looks in the big picture. We probably would have had a traded, you know, Mirotić, and Mirotić has been so impressive to me. We are better off with Gasol and Mirotić than, you know, and that's just one guy. I'm not even talking about, anybody else who was talked in there, like Taj or even the traffic in McDermott.
Well, it's all because of Jimmy Butler. I mean, you never would have had that flexibility if Jimmy Butler wasn't playing as asinine as he is playing right now, but it is unbelievable how bad the Knicks are. I mean, yeah, 5 wins. You know, and this is – you got to put a lot of this on Phil Jackson. I mean, the fact is I know you're trying to get rid of some contracts. I get it. But unless you're just trying to really gut it out here, man. I mean, I don't think that this team's ever going to really get that good, and this team has regressed substantially over the last couple of years to a point they shouldn't be this bad. I mean, you have a lot of the same guys that were on a team that made the playoffs a couple of years ago. They shouldn't be this bad. They seem to have taken a nosedive since Phil Jackson's taken over, and, you know, you can't just push some system down everyone's throat. I just don't get it. I mean, if the triangle doesn't work, don't get the triangle. Why do you have a coach coaching who's never coached before?
Yeah, they're a mess. You know, the Raptors are 9-2 against the West. One loss by 4 to Dallas and one loss in overtime to the Lakers. Gosh, they beat the Nuggets again tonight. The Lowry had 30. Maybe the Raptors are for real. That's insane. What
See,
is going
Fred,
on?
And if they are, my claim a couple weeks ago that I thought that the East as top to bottom was better than it's been in the past, and you were like, no. I don't see how you could disagree with that because you have not had five good teams in the East for years. Five teams that could potentially come out of the conference. You got to say, when we say for real, we're talking about can they win the Eastern Conference, and I think it's tough for us to say right now, at this point of the season, that the only two teams in the East that could potentially win the East are Cleveland, is either Cleveland or Chicago.
I think Washington could.
How can't we say Atlanta with some of these wins they've had?
Hey.
Toronto, 9-2 against the West.
All right, Mark, tell me every team in the East that you think could potentially win, even with a 5% chance.
Toronto, Atlanta, Washington, Chicago, and Cleveland.
Agreed. Absolutely agree with you. And out of those teams, rank them in order of likelihood to win.
Chicago. Oh, boy. Chicago, Washington, Toronto, Atlanta, Cleveland.
You have Cleveland last?
I think so.
Oh,
point.
That's insane. Come on, man.
They got LeBron, period. You've got so many holes on that team now. You have so many holes. Barajal gone? No way. This team doesn't stand a chance.
No, you're way off. It's the Bulls, it's Cleveland, Washington, Toronto, Atlanta. Yeah, that's it.
I think that's really disrespectful to those top three teams in the East right now. You're saying, hey, you know, I know it's just the beginning of January here, but we're saying that your records don't even matter. These great records that you've compiled. I mean, Cleveland has almost doubled the losses of Toronto, Atlanta, and Washington, you know? I mean, they're at this point, Toronto, Atlanta, and Washington, I think, have shown that they are strong teams. And Cleveland has a major injury now. They have very little depth in their front court. And they just lost their best defensive bruiser, they lost. So I think they're going to really struggle against teams like Atlanta and Washington that got talent down low. I don't know what the hell Toronto has down low. Who does Toronto have down low?
Oh, they got great, the big guy center. What's his name? He's really good. What was I going to tell you? One thing I wasn't aware of, Mark, Washington, looking at the record here, 21-8. They've had 21-8. Let's see how many home games they've had. 18 home games, 11 road games. So that, when that evens up, you know, they're 7-4 on the road, 14-4 at home. You figure there's some losses in there. Every team ahead of the Bulls has had more home games than road games. Toronto's had 17 home games, 13 road games. Atlanta's had 16 home games, 14 road games. The Bulls have had 13 home games, 17 road. So, I mean, in general, what does that mean? The Bulls should have more wins. I mean, most NBA teams win more at home than on the road, so I feel pretty good about them, you know, taking it to the next level.
God, Toronto's just got to be unbelievably coached because I'm just looking at this roster here. I mean, this team right now, they're averaging 108 points a game and they're giving up 100. I mean, there's an 8-point differential, which is second in the league to Golden State. And I'm looking at their roster and I just don't get it. I just don't get it. And they're doing – and the fact that they've been able to remain so good without DeMar DeRozan, who I thought was their best player, second best player – is just, to me, it's just unbelievable. How
they got a great center. Valanciunas is great. He's a great center. And they have, you know, Lou Williams is doing pretty well for them. Terrence Ross,
great,
a solid player.
Great.
Lowry.
12 points, 8 rebounds, 9 rebounds. That's great.
He's almost averaging a double-double. Lowry's, I mean, look at how many centers are in the league that are doing better than him. You got Gasol, and that's about it.
I mean, Kyle Lowry, other than Kyle Lowry, I don't think centers that are doing better than Valanciunas, that's probably true.
You got Gasol probably. in the East. Howard in the West. You know, I mean, the West is. I'm trying to think off the top of my head what other centers in the West are there outside of Howard. You know, they're putting up those kind of numbers. Not many. I mean,
well, it's Davis.
Oh yeah, of course. What am I talking about? And how great was that guy yesterday? What a player, the Pelicans. I mean, they got a prize in that guy. I know they don't have much else, but man, he had some plays yesterday. Just awesome. That kid is so good. And another guy who I can't wait to watch for the next 5-6 years.
By the way, I want to go back to what you just said a minute ago. I'm sorry. Al Jefferson, Nikola Vucevic, Al Horford, Marcin Gortat, all these players are better and are averaging more points. Andre Drummond could make the argument.
No.
Vucevic's probably better. Fine, but Gortat, maybe.
Jefferson, yeah, you got him there. The other guy.
But definitely Horford, Vucevic, and Jefferson, clearly. No question.
Well, what's Horford's
numbers
this year?
And Bosch.
What's Horford's numbers this year?
He's averaging 15 points a game on 53% shooting.
Oh, wow. He's doing a lot better than I thought. Yeah.
He's only about 6.5 rebounds. But, yeah, so there's quite a few. I just had to look at a list here. I'm sorry. You have a lot of guys, actually. Kelly Olynyk is doing pretty good. He's averaging right around where he is. Roy Hibbert's around there, too. Actually, when you look at the best centers in the league, you've got a pretty good assortment throughout the league. It's not really geared towards the West at all. It's all over the place.
Yep. All right, man. Hey, I got the road, brother.
All right, buddy. Well, just remain excited when we got another game. Tomorrow against Indiana? What is it? Is it tomorrow?
Yeah, I think that's right. On the road, right? Let's see what we got left until we hit that. Give me 1 second here. Let me pull up the schedule. Here's what we got.
I agree with you, Fred. I thought after we beat New Orleans, it was like, all right. So that the 10 games that we said we were going to go 8-2 during, which we're going to do a tally of right now, I'm thinking maybe we can go 9-1. I mean, maybe you can go 10-0, but that means you're on like a 50-game winning streak.
We started, again, the bookend Wizard game. So right before Christmas, we played the Wizards on the road, and we had talked in that podcast that we hope we go 8-2. They won 3 in a row, so they're 3-0. Out of the 7 we have left, we are at Pacers. We should win that. The Nets at home should absolutely win that. Nuggets at home, win that. Celtics at home, win that. Rockets at home, win that. Jazz at home. Well, Rockets at home is going to be tough, but you like to think they could win it. That's the one I like to say they could potentially lose. Then they have the Jazz at home, win that, and then they go again at the Wizards. So maybe, you know, the Wizards in the Rockets game will still be tough for them. You know, we thought they'd go 8-2. I hope they can go 10-0. 9-1 or 10-0 I think is definitely doable.
Well, after beating Washington and looking pretty damn good against them, and then also the amount of times now that we played Toronto and look so dominant against Toronto, if we go through this stretch right here, stay healthy, go through this stretch looking just as good, you know, whatever. I mean, I think if you ask me at this point, I think we're going to show up against Houston. I mean, this is at home versus Houston. I think we're going to show up. I mean, we normally show up against the really good teams. I think if we lose any games, it's going to be like some stinker to like Denver or something, you know, or like Boston out of nowhere, you know what I mean? But, I mean, if we can get through this stretch and we can beat teams like Houston and Washington in these next 8 games, I don't see how you can't say we're the best team in the East, because by that point, the only team you haven't beaten a million times is Cleveland. You've beaten Toronto then twice. You've beaten Washington twice. You may not be the best team in the East record-wise at that point, but you're certainly the hottest, and you're knocking off the teams that you need to be knocking off. So let's hope that we can continue this streak.
Well, you're right. We haven't beat Cleveland yet, but believe me, that's coming. We're going to pound that team like you've never seen. All right,
we play them in Cleveland right after the streak is done, right after we're done with that Washington game. It's a couple games, actually, January 19th. Let's pound them.
Sounds good, brother. All right, man, I got to run.
All right, until next time, Vinay Bulls.
Hey, Pat.